We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Light Years Happy Hour. We recorded this Wednesday, 5 p.m. Andy Liu's got a double hazy in hand. No, wait, that's me. I don't know what Andy has, to be honest. We're officially in the offseason.
You don't want to know.
I feel like NBA, so there's the finals, which the Warriors won, and then the NBA season doesn't really end because you go immediately into the draft, free agency, and summer league. I feel like this is officially the offseason. Once summer league ends and the main moves are made, we're kind of in a dead period until mid-September. This is officially your and my offseason. So for it, we'll probably be doing one of these Spotify Lives a week and maybe one other pod a week for the next 6 weeks or so until we get action. Obviously, if there's ever breaking news, we will go live or put something out. But odds are most days are going to be not very Warriors content focused. So I just want to call that out before we start here. With that said, friend of the show, Tony Slater and Marcus Thompson, gave us a nice little thing to talk about today.
I was going to say, hey, I was thinking of ideas. Sam, you as the showrunner that comes up with the great agenda every time. I was like, oh, no, man, I feel kind of bad for you. And then, boom, now we have something to talk about for the next 365 days. This is the beginning, right, Samuel, of probably the most stressful offseason for the Warriors since 2019, when we all knew that KD was going to leave. I would say this is becoming something like that, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think you and I have both heard about some of this stuff for a while. It also doesn't take a genius to see what's coming up. Jordan Poole has an extension. Draymond Green is contract eligible. Andrew Wiggins has to renegotiate. At some point, the young players are going to have to start playing more. They all have career ambitions to break through the way Jordan Poole did. The whole two timelines thing, whether you love it, whether you hate it, it's going to come to a head in some way, because Jonathan Kuminga, James Wiseman, those guys aren't signing up to, you know, not play in the playoffs. They want to progress as players in their career. And then guys like Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, they're firmly entering their primes. They also have ambitions. This is what I would call a good problem. The Warriors went from having no depth to all of a sudden having a lot of motivated players. But anyway you slice it, they're going to have to come to a head. And next summer seems like the first time the contracts really come into play.
I do want to kind of preface it by saying everybody does deserve the extension that they are trying to get.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I want to note. I think so. Let's go down the list before we get into the nitty-gritty of each one. For me, Jordan Poole definitely does, because he's the guy that probably is the best offensive player.
Yep. Let's back this up real quick, because I hate doing the deserve or worth conversation, because all these guys are going to end up well paid. And end of the story, like, what matters is in context of versus their peers, right? Like, Jordan Poole saw Jalen Brunson get 108 million, and right, Anfernee Simons get 100 million.
I would say he's better.
I think he's Yeah, at worst, he's even to those guys. So the market's set. You know, he's looking at those guys get 4 years, 25 to 27 a million a year. That's what it's going to cost to re-sign him. That's his market value. You know, like there's no other way around it. Andrew Wiggins just played like the second best Warrior in the finals. Wings, who play two ways, who can do some of the things he can,
yep,
get a lot of money. They get a lot of money. So like a lot of this has to do with like, they're going to get paid. It's a question of how the Warriors can kind of afford to keep them all on some level.
I'm with you. And I, in fact, what I'm trying to say is I don't think it's unfair for all of them to believe that they should be getting paid the numbers they want to get paid to, which is, you know, MT and Slater write about. Most of those guys just want the most amount of money that they can get. The only guy that I think probably maybe will take less is maybe Wiggins, but it's like, it's not a real pay cut. Like he's still going to get paid a shit ton of money. Right. The question, and then the other point here too, is I think Joe Lacob is doing a very smart job of framing it in a way that they only get to choose 3 out of 4 people or maybe 2 out of 4 people. When in actuality, technically, they can pay all 4, right? They can actually pay all 4. Now, he's framing it in a way that, hey, just straight up, he did it already this offseason, and I think it's very smart of him to do it. Obviously, I don't think it's smart of the franchise because I want them to keep everyone. But I think he's doing a good job of setting expectations early and saying, look, this is the hard line. We're not going over it. Someone might be gone, right? Instead of kind of having the conversation where it's, you know, they could just pay everyone. The team makes a lot of money. So that's the only other thing I wanted to point out. I don't necessarily think
you're going to make me defend Uncle Joe here.
I don't know if I'm cut out. I'm just saying, like, technically it is possible for him to pay everyone. Like, it's not either or.
Two separate questions. Do they have, like, does the CBA allow them to? Absolutely. Right. The CBA allows them to keep all of them. Yeah. Do they have enough cash to go $500 million into the tax? That I'm not so sure about because they're still paying off a lot of things. And
sure,
the point I will always make is as long as they have the highest tax bill in the league and the highest payroll, I'm not going to complain about total spend. I'm going to complain maybe about how they spend it, though. I'm going to complain, you know, if you let a good player walk because you really want to keep someone who's not performing as well, then that's the conversation. But, like, for me, not spending – maybe this is the Oakland A's fan in me. I'm not going to go there in terms of it with the Warriors just because I've seen what not spending actually looks like. You were
going
to say?
No, keep going. Keep going, Sam. I'm gonna change up my rooms real quick so I sound better. Keep going.
Okay, so I want to get to the nitty gritty of what Marcus and Slater wrote about. The comment, which had my Twitter mentions, looked like a war zone all day. Draymond Green, according to sources, wants and believes he deserves a max contract extension from the Warriors.
Classic Dre.
So I want to put some framing on this, okay? One, right now Draymond gets about 24, 25. Steph gets about 48, to put it into context. Probably. I mean, Steph, LeBron, and I don't know, maybe just those two. There's not really a number you can put on them that's, like, actually fair for the value they bring to your franchise. But anyway, putting that aside, when they say max extension, they mean max allowable early extension, which for him would be $31 million a year. Now, the reality is the max for a player of his service, if he waited out till free agency, is like more like $45 million a year. Again, I'm not saying if he hits free agency, there's going to be a team lining up to give him $45 a year. I'm just saying what the numbers are.
Yep.
So Draymond essentially wants to be extended at the maximum amount relative to what he's making right now. And I think that caught people off guard that he wanted that number. So I'm going to defer to you and what you think, Andy, here, because that number puts him somewhere around the 40th or 50th highest paid player in the NBA. So it's not like what we're getting at is these numbers are really high, dude.
These are really, really high. Sorry, 35th. My bad. I over-exaggerated. That's what
First off, I think he's better than the 35th best player in the NBA. I also think that the framing, like I was saying with Joe Lacob, it's the framing of the word mass extension, right? That kind of gets you thinking it's a lot more than it probably actually is, like you said, which probably only technically ends up to $35 million. I also think that Draymond is in a situation where he's still got 2 years. He's not opting out if he's not getting that contract extension. And anybody who's been here has been in some type of negotiation ever at any point in their lives. You never ask for what you actually want. You always anchor as highest as possible. And if you're Draymond, why would you ever say anything other right now, 2 years away right now, other than saying, I want as much money as possible? Why would he do anything else? So all that being said, I think this is completely normal. I think the funny part of it is, though, I think Warriors fans maybe did expect some people to take some pay cuts. We just don't know who it's going to come from, right?
And they might.
Correct. But maybe you would think that it would come from Draymond, the guy who's kind of the loudest in the room. And maybe it's kind of the flaws were the most obvious in the postseason, because it's not like Klay had a great postseason. He has some flaws, too. Jordan Poole obviously has flaws, and then Andrew Wiggins was extremely good. But I think the most obvious one was Draymond. And I think that's the one where people are like, dude, you want a fucking max extension when you were the guy? But then on the other hand, Sam, you and I sit here and you're like, dude, the guy that you probably can't replace out of those four dudes, probably Draymond.
And that's what's confusing about it, because you are correct. He looked, both him and Klay looked like they were old at various points in the playoffs. At various different points in the playoffs, we're both like, is it time? Are they starting? Like that sort of thing. But Draymond, because of the nature of the way he plays, it's always more pronounced. When Klay plays poorly, he's missing shots, but he still looks like Klay Thompson shooting those shots. When Draymond's playing poorly, he looks like a 6'6 old guy trying to guard young 20-something 6'10 dudes. It looks worse. I want to throw this out there, but you are correct. He's the only one who plays a big man position, and they don't have an alternative to replace him. If you think Wiseman's the alternative, maybe. We didn't play last year. We don't know how far away he is from being able to actually anchor a defense if he ever gets there. Looney, love him. There's a big difference between Looney playing 20 minutes a game and then, you know, every now and then having a super game and playing 40 minutes a game and having to anchor the entire team. It's one of those process of elimination things where he knows they don't have an interior defensive presence alternative on the roster right now. So until they do, he's got a little bit of leverage. On the flip side, you are correct. I agree with you. He's trying to get ahead of it because he's going to have the hardest time on the open market getting a big contract. Jordan Poole's not going to have any issue getting paid. There's probably eight teams out there who are looking at him being like, you know, we could probably steal him in restricted free agency and he could be our lead guard to go with like whatever little, you know, like particularly rebuilding teams, because they'll look at him as a 23-year-old be like, he's got 8-10 years.
Maybe the Knicks will get him. Pull him.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. Whereas, Draymond really only has value to teams who want to win right now. And most of those teams don't have cap space to offer him over 20, maybe even over the mid-level. So he's trying to get the Warriors, in my opinion, the way I'm reading it, he's trying to get the Warriors to extend him at a number he wants, because he knows if he hits the open market, it's going to be like the Celtics offer him the full mid-level.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough because I don't know how much value he has to rebuilding teams with a lot of cap space.
I completely agree. And I think Draymond knows that. There's no way he doesn't know that. But he does have one leverage point, because you talked about that earlier. You don't mention it. And MT talks about it. Dude, Steph's not letting him go anywhere.
He is a valuable ally. He is a very valuable ally.
That's the one where Draymond knows that Steph loves him. They love each other. I mean, Steph's not letting Klay and Draymond go anywhere. And I think that's the one where Draymond's going to play that negotiating point, because he understands that Steph has all the power. And it's not Draymond that has the power. It's Steph. So
I think there's going to be like a give and take. I think Steph's probably going to try to talk him into saying like, dude, you know, 30 plus million is kind of insane. Like maybe take a couple back here and we can re-sign Clay a year from now. Or maybe this means that we can keep Wiggins at this number. Right. And on the other side, you know, Steph's going to have to kind of be the middleman for Bob and Joe a little bit there. But I do think that that's the point where maybe Joe wants to sit there and say, dude, what are we doing? Like, we don't want to pay this guy. And Steph's just not going to allow it to happen. And I think Draymond probably wins that, right? It feels like it's going to go down there a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, currently, like I said, currently Draymond's the 49th highest paid player in the NBA. Or he is entering next year at 25.8. Oh. He makes basically the exact same amount. Oh, he makes a little less, but the 48th highest paid player is Al Horford, for reference. A similar player, little better on offense than Draymond, for sure.
Hey, we were a little surprised, by the way, Draymond, the 4 for 100 when he first signed that. I was a little surprised. I thought he'd
get that. It's the problem with Draymond is he's such a unique player. Like, you can't plug him into every team. And, like, it makes sense. You have to have a team with shooting and with a couple lead options who need like, basically the glue guy who makes everyone better around him, right? Like, that's his thing. And then the other thing working against Draymond, which we haven't called out here, is he did miss half the year with
That's pretty serious back issue. I mean, that's not – I mean, you talk about getting to do another 4 years with that back problem. I mean, Mike Trout's career looks like it's about to end with back issue. Obviously, not the same thing. But like, those things are just not something to mess with.
And it's another one of those things where it's like, whether it doesn't matter how tough he is the size he is, and other GMs are always going to be like, I don't know, man, 6'6", big man. How's that aging at 36? How's that aging at 30? I actually think the way the league's heading benefits him, but it's still going to be something teams say. You know, it's like I'm looking at this list and it's like Jaren Jackson, Nikola Jokic, you know, like it's like, is he really going to be able to like bang with those type of guys for 3-4 more years? So all that stuff kind of hurts his market. If I was to be a betting man, I would guess if the Warriors offered him something in the range of what he's currently making, like just tack years on,
sure,
I think he would sign it immediately. I don't know that, you know, because like the floated number was a 4-year vet max on top of it, which is basically, which starts at 30 and escalates to 36. It averages to about like 33, 34 a year for him. I don't think he thinks he's getting that. I think he just wants to keep himself in the same pay range as he is because he doesn't want to go to free agency and get stuck taking a PJ Tucker deal where it's like the only teams who want are good teams. Comp. And they're like, you know, because PJ Tucker is an excellent role player for good players. PJ Tucker's also signed for $9 million the last like 4 years.
Well, PJ Tucker also got swindled Philly on a player option 3 years, so he's 40. But beside the point, because he's going to be 40. I get what you're saying about that Super Bowl player. They basically
gave him an extra year because they didn't have the cap space to get him up to like, I don't know, 14 or something, 15 of what he wants. So I think Draymond's probably fighting for that. And if I was the Warriors, I think the Warriors are betting against him being like, we don't think you can get 15 in free agency.
Well, I agree.
You know,
they're like,
if we offer you 15, you should be happy. And that's kind of the song and dance.
You could also, I think, bring up the Andre Iguodala. I saw a lot of people on Twitter bring this up, and I think it was great because Andre, the Warriors didn't want to pay him what he paid him, and they said, hey, go get a contract that we're going to have to match. And he went and used the Kings because the Kings are the Kings, and he used the Kings to get that third-year contract at, I think, 16 per, and went back to Bob and was like, yo, match this, right? And that's what the Warriors did. You know, and maybe Draymond does the same thing. I mean, Rich Paul, clutch, if not one of the best negotiators out there, agents out there, he maybe could do something. Maybe they go to Portland. Dame loves him. Maybe they go to Sacramento and get $100 million and then Bob is going to be forced to match him because Steph is in his ear, right? But I'm with you. I don't think he goes anywhere. So maybe let's cap the Draymond talk with this. I don't think he goes anywhere. What do you think ends up with Draymond?
I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon, but I think this – I'm not convinced that they're going to come to an agreement this offseason.
Yeah. which is what he wants. Yep. He wants it in place so that he doesn't have to worry about it all year. You know, sounds good to me too. Like that, I also want that with my life. I don't think it's going to happen. And then I'm very curious to see how this whole thing plays out, because it's not just him. You know, there's Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, by the way, he has every right to want this because he's sacrificed the most having to come off the bench. He's a starter in the NBA, you know, and he's young, you know, like young players want to prove themselves, and he had to sacrifice for the betterment of the team. And he did it, and he didn't really complain. He kind of went along with the flow, and it worked out, and they won a title. But unlike all these other guys, Jordan Poole hasn't made generational wealth. He hasn't got the big contract. Draymond, Clay, Steph, Wiggins have all signed massive contracts in the past. You know, they're already set, and this is just the competitive nature going forward. Poole hasn't yet. Poole's been on a late first-round pick contract, so he's the one who I think there might be the most
contention.
Potentially, I think. But then again, if the Warriors were to offer him Brunson's contract, does he even sign it right now, or does he gamble to free agency?
I actually disagree about the contention between the numbers. I think nobody's going to ask Jordan Poole to take a pay cut. I think it'd be extremely disrespectful for all the reasons that you mentioned for anyone to ask him to take a pay cut. I think the question is, will they have to choose between a couple players? Because I think it ends up being them having to choose between Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. And if this is all true, if Joe Lacob claims that he's not going to spend this amount, and I think that question becomes, will the Warriors pay that much for Jordan Poole? Who would they pick? And then I think the other question would also be, is Jordan Poole going to be content coming off the bench? Because that's really, I think, the money is the money. The money he's going to get. The question is, Jordan Poole wants to start. Jordan Poole wants to close games. It was pretty obvious that he was not able to do either of those in winning situations in this postseason, at least in the NBA Finals, even though he was pretty good in the minutes between the start and the finish, right? But I think a young kid like him probably wants to do that. And I don't know if the Warrior, if that's possible on the Warriors in the next 2-3 seasons. And I think that maybe that's the bigger issue rather than the Warriors saying, we want to pay, should we pay this guy? Because I think they should regardless pay the guy. They open up a spot for him?
I mean, it means one of Clay or Wiggins either goes or moves to the bench.
Exactly.
So, I mean, all of this points to the two-timeline plan really only works if the older timeline is willing to sacrifice a little bit to the younger timeline. And by that, I mean, let's look at the Spurs. Part of the reason the Spurs were able to do, first off, the Spurs only had one young guy, and his name was Kawhi Leonard. Easier with one than 3-4, which the Warriors are dealing with, right? Like, if the Warriors just had one young stud, they could move things around a little easier. Instead, they got four guys all fighting for minutes, right? And Poole's the first one who's really popped. He's the guy who's, he's ready right now. You know, like he's there. We'll see what Kuminga, Moody, and Wiseman do this year, but Poole is already there. On top of it, the Spurs' main guys, Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan, willingly sacrificed. They took probably a little less than they could have got if they wanted to play hardball. Different cap climate. At that time, the cap was $50 million, so the numbers don't even matter. But the point is they took less than they could have got. And they'd both been paid prior, so that's their onus. The other part was they willingly were willing to play less minutes. And maybe part of that was the stage of their career they were in. But, like, Manu was happy to come off the bench, and Duncan was fine going down to 25 minutes a game. And we have not seen that from Clay and Draymond yet because they're not at that stage of their career yet.
There you go. That's the. Yeah.
So that's what makes it a little trickier because in a perfect world, maybe Clay goes off the bench. Maybe Clay and Draymond go more to the 26, 27 minutes per game model. And then, you know, a guy like Poole can start, a guy like Kuminga can play more. And, you know, Clay and Draymond take less money and there's a little more to keep guys. And it all makes sense. The problem is when the Spurs did that stuff, Tim Duncan was 37, Clay's 32, you know?
Manu Ginobili is 35, Draymond's 32. So it's like, as much as you want to get to the Spurs thing, the Warriors, we just watched them win an NBA Finals with Klay and Draymond playing Klay played 40 minutes. Klay played the second most minutes per game. Draymond played the fourth most. They all played over 36 minutes per game in the Finals. It's not like they've moved to that. They haven't moved to the 25-minute per game phase of their career.
And they should have. And that's the other thing. They should have. This is all, by the way, actually, I think this is all – the point I want to make here is this is actually a good problem until then we figure out that, hey, Jordan Poole is going to be gone. Because he's not starting. Like, yeah, to me, it's like, well, Klay's still in his prime. He's off-season training right now. He's going to be way better next year than last. Draymond presumably is healthy. And by the way, game six was Draymond's best defensive performance in the entire postseason. I forgot to mention that. That was
also
a game
also offensive. Best offensive.
Yeah, right. Hitting
corner threes. Like, well, come on, man.
What was that? Yeah, what was that, right? So like, let's be very clear. Like, this is not like, oh my God, the sky is falling. Like, as of right now, this team is going to be better with those guys. Those guys will be better next season. Jordan Poole's 22. He's going to be better. Like, who knows how good he's going to be next season? So I'm with you. I think it just comes down to the question is like, who's going to sacrifice? I think the only guy that's probably like truly, truly willing to sacrifice a little bit, we know it's going to be Steph. Like, a dude came off the bench.
But it's easy to say that because 30 already got his big contract and he's about to make 55 a year for the next 4 years. So not to say he isn't worth every penny plus, you know, more,
sure,
because he's the reason Chase is sold out every night. He's the reason Warrior jersey. I mean, he's a superstar. There's no number you can put on him that isn't reclaimed in value to the Warriors. But like, it is a little easier that he was fully taken care of.
Well,
so there's that aspect.
After
too.
He took the no, actually he didn't take a discount. He just kind of got it. Just kind of worked out that way. So that's the pool stuff. The one guy we haven't talked about in the article is Andrew Wiggins. Your thoughts on kind of his, because as you said, as everyone is saying, he was the second most consistent. Maybe even I think his highs aren't as high. Maybe as some of those guys. You got Game Six Klay. You got Draymond putting on ridiculous performances, but he did have that Game Five, and every single game he was right there. Great defense, pretty much no lows for Andrew Wiggins. So you could say second most consistent player, and he's a two-way wing.
And there's not and a lot so of them.
What
in the
happens
NBA?
To him?
There's just not.
Not in the NBA. Not in the entire world, right?
There's just not a lot of them. And you see their value more in the playoffs than anything.
Yep.
You know, you can play them in many different ways. You see teams with small backcourts or a bunch of bigs have issues that you don't have when you have a bunch of wings. I'm interested to see how his plays out because, unlike the other guys, he had a really bad reputation before he came to the Warriors. And I know there's certain teams who still wonder, it's like, well, yeah, it's the Warriors. He comes to us, he's going to be Minnesota Wiggins, you know? So I don't know what he is going to demand contract-wise. And in some ways, I don't want to say they can hardball him, but if they can't get him to agree to an early extension number that they like, they might be better suited waiting till free agency.
That's the one. Yep.
Because the reality is he's going to be looking at offers from teams like Charlotte, teams like, I don't know, running like teams, mid-tier to lower mid-tier teams who are desperate for a wing. And the Warriors can always be like, we're willing to get this close to that number. Which one do you want to play for? You know?
I think that's – you framed it perfectly. I think that's the question for Wiggins is I don't think there's going to be a contending team out there. Maybe it's a similar to Draymond a little bit that'll say, whoa, we're going to open up $35 million for Andrew Wiggins. No, it'll probably be, like you said, in Orlando or Charlotte. Maybe Orlando by then is going to be better than they are now. Is going to say, hey, Wiggins, come be – not the guy, right? But come be that number two, right? You're going to have to create a lot more. And I think Andrew,
like the Jeremy Grant situation. Like, does he want that again?
Does he want that? Yeah. Is because he's done it in Minnesota, and and it wasn't great, right? And he's not good at it. He's not great at it. Especially now that he's kind of tasted winning a championship. So
we don't know how he feels. Nobody knows how any of these players feel. But to me, he feels like the guy most likely to say, if I'm getting offered 37 somewhere, I don't know what the numbers are, and the Warriors are offering me something close, whatever it is right now, I think
maybe it takes like 5% less to stay. You know, it's
and
like
just be like, yeah, exactly. I think that's the guy. On the flip side, though, Sam, on the flip side, I also think that Andrew Wiggins is probably the guy that the Warriors can try to replace the easiest because they have Moses Moody and Kuminga. I think with Poole, they don't have a ball handler. With Clay, he's Clay. You don't have a shooter like that. With Draymond, you don't have the anchor defensively that can play like that, change the game as a small ball five. With Andrew Wiggins, he's more of the standard, well, Kuminga's athletic. You know what I mean? Kuminga, he could be a great defender and maybe make some threes. He could be Andrew Wiggins. I don't know. Moses Moody is super smart. He could be another two-way wing, right? Like, so theoretically, I think maybe he's the most replaceable. But again, Andrew Wiggins is 27 this postseason, and he took him that long to become this good. And those other guys are going to be 20. So
and he's very much in his prime, like you said. Yeah, like the core guys were wondering how the next 4 or 5 years will go aging. The young guys, I mean, would it surprise anyone if it took them 3 years? You know, would it? Maybe. You know, you don't know the pace at which they're going to improve. And meanwhile, he's just in the middle of his prime.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's take it to the goons, Andy.
Goons time.
Hey guys,
Dylan, what's up, man?
Not much. I hope my reception's good. I am driving. Just had a couple real quick things. First is on Draymond's contract. Do you think there's any chance that we do something creative with it? Like, maybe not the Haslam level, but like, you know, maybe a longer deal that is a little bit less per year to be cap friendly, but Draymond still gets that guaranteed 100. The other thing I wanted to ask is about Draymond. Like, what other team in the NBA, assuming the cap wasn't an issue, he could just get there, other than the Lakers, would he actually fit with their star player? Because he and Steph have a unique relationship, and I'm having trouble thinking of the other star player that's going to be signing up for Draymond to come in and run the locker room for them. So that's all I got. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it, Dylan. Portland's the obvious one. He always loves to – We've heard that one for years. He'll go play in Portland. You know, Dame, Simons, it's a similar setup. I'm not saying they're anywhere as good as the Warriors guys, but it's a similar setup. That's really all I got. Like, the Clippers would like him, but it's they're as into the tax as the Warriors. So it's like they can pay him.
Yeah. Dare I say the Lakers? I can't imagine Draymond's responses to if he ends up playing with LeBron. They'll give him the vet min, I'm sure. The thing about Draymond too, I think, is that he would actually be a great guy for rebuilding teams, because I think he'd just be a guy that's good as an influence for younger guys that are trying to make it into the NBA.
But I don't think he's there at this rate of his career. He's still young enough where he should be playing.
I think that only works if it's a group of young guys who are like ascending on the verge, you know? Like, I think it only works if it's and I'm trying to think of a good comp.
Minnesota would be a group of young guys so, that's ascending.
But they just got Rudy. So they got Rudy and Kat. So, you know, they don't really have a spot for him. Maybe Memphis. Maybe.
Trade Rudy for 6 first rounds. You know what I mean? Memphis, another guy, another team that could, Jaren Jackson, if he could stay healthy, but yeah.
And then the one that just popped to mind that would be a great fit.
Oh, Denver. Atlanta. Oh, Denver, yeah.
Cover with Jokic, obviously guys like Jamal Murray can shoot and play off ball a little bit. Like the fit makes sense there, but I don't think they have the money either.
I mean, Travis Schlenk in Atlanta, that'd be one where maybe they're always creative in the trade market. Maybe Grant will figure something out, right? Play with another version of Steph, even though he plays different, but you know, maybe that's another guy. Like, but it's about the money, right? Like, how can they make – are they willing to spend 3 first-round picks offloading contracts to get Draymond Green? I don't know.
Maybe Detroit go home. Maybe Cade ascends to stardom and it makes sense. I don't know. It's tough for him. It's tough. But we'll move forward. Let's get Omar up here. Omar, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Couple quick points. So I think one aspect that we haven't spoken about much is the kind of locker room vibe. Potential implications. I think that's one thing that I worry about, specifically with respect to Draymond and Poole. Draymond, just because, you know, like, he can be great or he can be an asshole, like we saw in 1920 in the locker room. But I'm sure he'll be playing for his money. And then Poole on the other side, you know, coming off the bench again when he's a starter quality player who showed really good stuff in the playoffs and being tied with, you know, the second unit that I worry about the construction of a little bit, that, you know, might not be the best platform for him to showcase himself. So that's one part. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. And then I have another question as well on, like, I think Poole and Wiggins are essential to keep, and Draymond as well. And very sadly, Clay's probably my favorite player, but I mean, doesn't it seem like this gears up to maybe salary dumping him if he has a good year? As an expiring, and that's how you make everything work. What are your thoughts on that?
No chance. Not a chance in hell. It just, no way, Steph.
Steph is not in contention, and he just showed he can be a valuable playoff player. Maybe they would do that if they were a 500 team like 2020-21, where you're just like, you know, that sort of thing. But like, I just don't think you can even. I just don't think you even think about that stuff as long as you have a legitimate shot to compete.
Yeah, locker room question was interesting. I want to take that one. I think it was pretty obvious last season, middle of the season, that Jordan Poole is not happy with Clay coming back and him having to take a bench. I think that was pretty obvious. And the Warriors were losing games. I don't think because of that. I think they were just losing games because guys were hurt and they struggled. But I think that's going to be an issue this season, which is why I think people were saying, oh, you don't technically have to pay people to after the season. Why not worry about it then? Well, because we just saw these things are going to be a problem with human beings. And I'm sure if Draymond wants to make something out of it, if Poole wants to make something out of it, they can. Now, this is why Steph is Steph, right? Like, these things generally don't happen if you have Steph Curry. It only happens if you've got a diva like KD on the team, which is what we saw in 2019. But we just don't know these guys. So I would say Sam locker room is probably – it could be an issue, I would say, if certain guys aren't signed.
I'm going to say too early to tell. But they're hyper-competitive, and if they feel like they're competing for a contract, we've seen this dance in the NBA over the years. Yep. It can go many different ways, and one of them is a very uncomfortable locker room.
Yep.
But it's too early. I'm not willing to go there yet. Let's see how the whole thing plays out.
Yep.
Tommy, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? This actually kind of overlaps with the question you just answered, but I was going to say, I feel like it's kind of an interesting dichotomy with Poole, because you can definitely see that he's someone who wants to start and sees himself on a superstar trajectory. But you can also hear in a lot of his interviews that he's someone who really values winning, and just like even talking about how much he learns from the way Steph trains. And like, you know, he said on a Point Forward, like, I just copy what they do. Why would I not follow a winning formula? And I kind of wonder how that plays out with him. And I'm kind of curious, although Andy just spoke to this, but you know, I feel like you guys hear more from people around the team. Like, does that value on winning make him more patient to let the two timelines develop for himself? So that's kind of what I wonder with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I'll put it this way. I thought he handled being moved to the bench as well as anyone possibly could have. They were in first place when Clay came back, and he was asked to move to the bench. Young player playing well, being asked to move to the bench on a first place team. The natural inclination is to be like, but we're winning. Why do I have to come off the bench? And there were some rocky roads there. There was that stretch in February where it was very clear that they were like not content with the way things were going.
Paul was throwing a fit on the court. He wasn't trying, remember? And
yeah. Steve
had to cut. Again, like, can't really blame him, but the dude wasn't aggressive coming off the bench because he was like, what the fuck am I doing off the bench? We're 18 yeah, but and two I mean, with me starting.
If you take a step back, end of the day, that was like five to seven games. Sure. You know, all things considered, I think it went as well as it could have gone. You know, I think in the playoffs, he was perfect. Like, he handled the benchings in the playoffs well. He never complained. He did his job. He had games where he was the best offensive player for stretches. He also had games where he was terrible, and Steve was like, we got to win this game, so you're playing 20 minutes. And he went with it because he understood, you know, playoffs are about winning. It's not about, you know, like me.
Well, I would argue he went with it because Steph came off the bench for four games. Like, I argue that was why he went with it. And Steph came out, and I think we can now all say Steph came off the bench, and then when he said to the media, he's like, hey, we got to do what we got to do to win. And that was at pool. That was at nobody else. And you said, hey, I'm the best player on this team. I'm a top three player in the NBA. I'm coming off the bench for you. And if I can do this, you can come off the bench. And I'm pretty sure that's why Steph did it. And from there, I was fine. And I think all of this stuff, like the locker room stuff, is always going to be, if Steph is going to be in there, it's probably going to be fine. Right. But the moment maybe Steph doesn't show up to LA for a weekend. Remember that? Maybe he doesn't show up to LA. And all of a sudden you got Draymond and KD doing a pissing match together. But as long as Steph isn't there, I think they'll be all right. But the other thing too, I think with the pool stuff is like, I can't even blame him. Can you even blame him? Like, yeah.
No,
dude, he's so good.
If you're Jordan Poole, in your mind, you think the only difference between you and Donovan Mitchell is opportunity.
And, so good.
And right That's now, so and right now, Utah is asking for 1,000 picks for Donovan Mitchell. Now, I'm not saying he's as good as that, but like, he's closer to Donovan Mitchell than Donovan Mitchell is to Steph. You know what I'm saying?
My.
So I mean, he can average over 20 in this league. He can make an All-Star team in this league. He has, and you don't get to that level without being insanely competitive.
Yep.
I'm not going to fault him for wanting to prove it. You know, we've seen this over the years. You saw an OKC with like Harden coming off the bench. You've seen it a lot. Like, it's just, it's the nature of it. It's the catch 22 of developing really good players while having a core, you know? Yeah, dude, there's a reason most teams who win titles are veteran, because veterans are generally okay accepting their role and coming off the bench. Young players, they're motivated to prove how good they can be. So it is what it is. I mean, I think he's handled it well, but it'll be curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep moving. Josh, what's up, man? Take yourself off mute.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on, bro?
Hey, so want to get your thoughts on this. So a question, if we go back-to-back next year, or when we go back-to-back next year.
That's right. When? Better framing.
Sorry. I'd catch myself. Forgot we still have Steph. So, yeah, absolutely. Do you think that lowers Draymond's leverage a little bit and makes ownership more willing to kind of accelerate the younger path of the timeline, considering that would be back-to-back championships and a three-peat, as – everyone has said, from Steve Kerr to everyone that was a part of the first run in the KD era, three-peats are extremely difficult to come by. So do you think when we go back-to-back, that Draymond's leverage might even be less? And would that be incentivizing him even more to get that locked in this summer?
I feel like if the Warriors are lucky enough to go back to back, like health breaks, right, and everything happens, I think the pressure's on Lacob. I think if Lacob's the guy who lets a core guy walk off a back-to-back championship because he wants to see a 21-year-old play, I think I know he's like a made man in the Bay Area. And like, you know what? When you run an organization as well as the Warriors have been over the last decade, that's what comes. I think the tide will turn on him very quick if he makes a move like that and he's not absolutely 100% right. So I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, there's a million ways it could play out. What if they win a title and Draymond's literally not playing in the finals? Well, yes, then people won't be so mad if he gets gone. But I have a very hard time imagining that happening. Everyone keeps bringing up that he was benched in game 4 for 6 minutes in the fourth quarter. And the reason they bring it up is because it's so shocking that something like that happened, because he's always a mainstay in those moments. He was a mainstay in those moments the entire playoffs other than that. So it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, if the Warriors are able to go back-to-back, I would expect every player who was vital to going back-to-back to be back.
I also don't think the Warriors are going back-to-back with Draymond not playing. It's just not possible.
Looney's gonna just re-age and become a guy who can play 40 minutes a game. You know?
That's the only way. Does Kuminga take 3 steps forward? I don't think
does
so.
Does Wiseman skip steps? You know, he missed year 2. Does he just all of a sudden become the player everyone thinks he's going to be in year 5 and year 3?
Right.
I mean, these are less likely scenarios to happen than, you know, Draymond contributing.
There you go.
All right, Kyle, let's give you another shot, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Sorry about that.
No worries.
You know, so picking up on the last thread, you know, I'm still a little bit in victory lap mode. And I just want to remind you guys that the first time that this trio won a title and they felt like they had something to prove, they went on that ridiculous record-breaking start to the season and wound up winning 73 games. So I think this is going to be a victory lap season. And I want to know if you guys think Steph Curry is going to win MVP this year. I definitely think he is. And then if the Warriors are, you know, a 1 or a 2 seed, which I anticipate, you know, they'll probably face either the Wolves or maybe the Grizzlies. And I want to know if you guys think that either of those teams might match up better against the Warriors this year than they did last year, especially with Gobert in the mix. Thanks.
Wow,
Love you guys.
Doing season preview.
I love that question. Do you think Steph will win MVP this year?
No, because he's old and the MVPs don't go to old guys, and Steph is only going to play like 60 games, right? So it's not his fault, right? I would be shocked if Steph plays 78 games and tracks really hard. It's probably a bad thing. I kept saying, Sam, last season that if Steph is going to play 75 plus games, I will not be happy. It's not good for him. He needs the rest. He needs a month off, which he got, unfortunately, but I think it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out, but it was kind of scary the way it happened, because usually those injuries are tricky. But yes, I agree with you. I'd rather Steph play 60 games and look as fresh as he did in the playoffs than play 70 games, which I think is basically the bare minimum to win MVP. You have to play 70 plus games in most seasons to win MVP. I would rather he play about 60-ish games and be fresh in the playoffs playing 40 plus minutes. So
yep.
And I think he is too. And actually the thing that really works the Warriors' favor is this is the first time they've ever had a backup who can run kind of a decent Steph impression. So they can run the offense through Jordan Poole for games. Like they don't need Steph
for a month
to beat Orlando.
Yeah,
for a month. Well, although they did lose to Orlando last year without Steph. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like they should be able to generate wins against lower tier NBA teams with Jordan Poole starting. So they should be able to pace Steph really well. But, you know, all that's to say is I think he can play like an MVP when he plays.
Because he is,
you know?
He does that every season.
What about the second question?
I think that's a fascinating one because I think the Western Conference is going to be better next season. I think, you know, praying that Jaren Jackson's going to be back healthy by December, January, whatever. That's a tougher matchup than Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to be good. I think Memphis is going to be tougher, probably because of that. I don't know. I think Minnesota's going to be a good matchup for other teams, but I don't know how tough they're going to be for the Warriors.
For me, the Minnesota question is, I think Ant-Man's a star.
Another leap?
Is this going to be the year he takes the leap to, like, superstar, or is it another year out? Because if he takes a leap this year, Ant-Man plus, like, seven-footers with all the wingspan in the world is going to be a problem for the Warriors.
It also, what type of leap? Is it like a top three MVP leap, or is it like a Devin Booker, like, yeah, I mean, there
he's an all MVP yeah, he's an all-star. Like, yeah, you're right. Is he an all-star, or is he like, no, this guy's – is it the Ja Morant leap where you're like, no, right, superstar?
Well, like, yeah, exact. So it's like, I don't know. Either way, I like that one. But, dude, I mean, you talk about the Clippers and Denver. I mean, those are two teams I think are way more interesting.
I mean, those yeah, teams, I think Minnesota, I kind of like them as a dark horse in the West, but like push come to shove, I still think the healthy Clippers are the scariest team for the Warriors. I also just don't know if they'll ever be healthy. So like it's one of those things where it's like we say it every year. Oh, Paul George, Kawhi, you know, and then they got all those extra wings, Terrence Mann, and you know, and whatnot. And that's a playoff team. That is a playoff team. The problem is they're never healthy in the playoffs. So
John Wall, who hasn't played in 8 years.
Like, yeah, it's one of those. Like I'm intrigued by them, and I see the upside. But like I was all in on the Clippers being the team in the West for a couple of years, and at this point, it's like I kind of need to see you get to the playoffs with all these guys healthy functioning before I'm buying it. But I guess that's still the team I'm most like. That'd be a tough matchup.
You know who's winning MVP though. You do know. I think it's pretty easy next year.
Three-peat? No. It's Luka.
Yeah, it's Luka. Yeah.
I could see Ant-Man taking the Derrick Rose type leap where he's the face of this Wolves team that goes from the play-in to like the 2 seed potentially, but I kind of agree with you. I think it's Luka's. If Luka starts the season in shape, he's going to have the numbers. He's going to drag the team to a top three record. And let's be real, no one else on that team's really all that cool. So it's like it's going to be one – it's going to start being the – he's carrying a bunch of bums, which is unfair. Like they have some good defenders. They just don't have much creation outside of
Christian them. Wood, JaVale McGee, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dorian Finney-Smith, just a lot of guys that don't do anything but play finish. So it's the Luka show. He's going to win the MVP. I thought of Luka because you mentioned the Clippers, and I always think about how fraudulent they are because of how Luka brought Kawhi and Paul George to a game 7. I always think that's hilarious. But anyway, we'll keep it moving.
We'll get to Luke in Australia, who I know will not disappoint me with a bad connection.
I'm heading to work, mate. You guys got happier. I'm heading to work. How you going? You good?
Good, yeah. Time zones are funny, aren't they?
That's right. Have you apologized yet, Andy?
What did I do this time?
Have you apologized
what did
yet?
I do this time?
Did you do what I said? Did you apologize to Kevin yet? What are you doing?
I just shot him over a text. Didn't respond. Left me on red.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I just want to say, if Joey Laker's going to go on Andre's podcast and talk about how he's broke and can't spend the money, at least he could do us a favor and go on Lightyear's green room and complain about how the NBA's fucking him up. I mean, Jesus. You know what? If we're going to keep talking about who's going to go and who's going to get cut and that, you know what Joey should do? He should ring up Adam Silver and go, you know what? If I'm going to keep paying all this money, you know, I am going to trade for Durant, and you guys are going to give me every national fucking TV game possibly in the world when we need next three in a row. Because as I understand it, it's actually better, like cheaper, if he actually offloads all these dudes and just gets Kevin anyway. So what are we fucking doing here? Like, you know what I mean?
First off, if he's going to do that, he has to also tell Adam, we've had enough of Van Gundy. We've had enough of Mark Jackson. Fitz doing all the national TV games.
100%.
Oh, my God.
National TV Fitz.
100%. All this subliminal messaging through MT, who's a great writer, and that, you know, he's great with us. But if they're going to start talking about, oh, the kids didn't help us in the playoffs, guess what, Steph? Pick up the fucking phone, call Kevin and go, let's make this work, get it done, and let's win the next fuck, get the 6 titles and go get fucked everyone else. Anyway, I got to head to work, boys, so take it easy.
Have a good one, Luke. To Luke's point, okay, if you assume Jordan Poole's going to get 27 and you assume Wiggins is going to stay around the number he is, which is 33, that's 60 right there. You throw in Wiseman, that's 70. KD's only making 45. So if you trade in the three of them and you get KD, you are actually saving money.
So it's like it's the funniest thing, but that's just kind of the way it works. Max contracts make it so one guy can only make so much money. So if you have a bunch of dudes who are like 80% of the way to the max, you actually end up spending more. So
I have no comment. No comment.
We'll put out a video on YouTube. Kevin, come on. Zach, what's up, man?
Yo, guys. How you doing this hot, hot summer day? I was curious what your thoughts are in general about the trade-off between playing for a contract year or the turmoil in the locker room. Like, what do you think is more real? And which of the four who are up for an extension would you like to see play for a contract the most?
Say the last part one more time. You cut out on me, Zach.
Oh, which of the four guys up for an extension would you like to see play for the contract, their next contract the most this year?
Ooh, so who do I think is gonna bring the best out of them? I think it's gotta be Jordan Poole, honestly. I think Wiggins is the type of guy who it might get in his head a little bit, you know? Draymond, I think he's just gonna kind of make it difficult for everyone. If it bothers Draymond, he's gonna make everything uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? And including for you and me watching the games.
Draymond's just purposely chucking shit into the second row on these
backs. For me, it's process of elimination. Poole might be the kind of guy who's like, oh, you don't want to pay me? Watch what I can do. You know? If this guy is not up for an extension, but my honest answer would be Clay. Because I don't think it'll affect him. If anything, I think he's the kind of guy who's like, what? I'll show them how much I'm worth. You know, like, yeah, I think he's absolutely cut that way. So Clay would be my number one answer. But since he's not one of the three, I go Poole.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also think Wiggins is kind of maxed out on who he is. I think Draymond is maxed out on who he is. If he's going to go all out again, he's going to get hurt. I just don't think it's smart. We saw how good he was in the beginning of the last season. The guy who's still going to improve, I think the one guy out of these four that's got another leap in him, maybe two, is Jordan Poole. I mean, it's not even a question. That's the guy that can still get there out of these four guys. So,
yeah. All right, I think we should end it there. Hour. Appreciate everyone. We'll be back next week. We'll be doing these probably once a week in the off season, and then you know what the deal is when the season starts, guys. Appreciate everyone. Subscribe, rate.